Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of the Bird Gang. Me and Mark would like to thank our guests tonight, good friends of ours, Josh Leiter and John Nemeth. Guys, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So it obviously we're going to talk about the game. Obviously, Patriots win their fourth Super Bowl, 28-24, outscore Seattle 14-0 in the fourth, and the ultimate play that pretty much decided the game was when Seattle elected not to go with Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line, instead they chose to throw. That it's still embedded in my mind. I can't imagine being a Seattle fan and having to deal with that. I mean, you get it to the Lynch gets it to the one and was tackled by Dante Hightower, and second and one, you still have 26 seconds left and one timeout. I realize that if you run it, it takes off a significant amount of time. Say you don't get it and you have two more chances. So if you don't, let's just say on second down they run it and they don't get it, do you take the timeout then? I mean, what would you have done, Josh, had they ran it and not gotten it on second down?
Call timeout and see where the ball is spotted and then turn based on that on third, because you're going to have a completely different defense package at that point. For starters, your second down defense package at that point, you're expecting the run is keep bringing all big guys. And even though you're expecting it, it's still a one on second run. He'll get you there most of the time. So regardless of that, they should have ran it. And even if you don't get it on third down, a lot of cases you go for the fade.
Yeah, and actually, this may sound interesting or crazy, but who do you think was responsible for the interception? Because the offensive coordinator for Seattle, Darrell Bevell, was saying that it was the blame should have been placed in receiver Ricardo Lockett, where a lot of the blame went on Wilson, and obviously in the call, I'm not sure if the call places blame on Carroll and Bevell or one or the other. What do you guys think as far as the blame?
Well, I think for one thing, Pete Carroll said that he was electing to throw it because their goal line was so good. And you also got to remember, he probably thought if Lockett was playing Butler, who was having a pretty weak game up to that point, that it would be a great, a good matchup.
Yeah. And would you, Mark, and
guy,
what were
you
going to say?
You can't really blame the receiver there for corner having a really instinctive good play, jumping around like. Remember that Butler did not have a career interception before that, period.
Yeah. I agree that it was something that it was just a really good instinct by Butler. I kind of, when I first saw the play, you're obviously shocked, but actually, it's so much mayhem and it's craziness, obviously, in short yardage. There's so many players, and sometimes it's tough to tell what's going on at first, and who knows, especially with fumbles and interceptions. But I got the idea that after he threw it, it was going to be intercepted because it looked like he didn't throw the right ball as far as the route's concerned. What did you play of the what did you make of the play, Mark?
I thought it was a terrible play call. First of all, get one of the best running backs in the game, pound for pound, and you need to get a half yard. I would give him the ball 10 out of 10 times. But I will say that the cornerback made a great play on that ball, jumped around, and made the interception. So, I mean, you can blame the play calling on that one, but you can also give props to the cornerback for making a great play.
Would you have taken the timeout after this second down mark if they hadn't gotten it? Say they ran it?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
And then I guess you probably would pass it there. But like Josh said, or John said, I can't remember which.
No,
it depends on the...
I would not have passed it at all. If I got stopped on the second down, what I would do is I would call a timeout, cue the ball spotted, and I would run a bootleg to the corner of the end zone with Wilson.
No, didn't the... How much time was left when the... probably a lot more when the Ravens had their goal line stand 2 years ago.
Yeah. Which game was that?
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When they won it, I don't think it was even, it wasn't that close either. It was probably maybe the nine.
Yeah. No, and I read a stat somewhere, or I heard about a stat that 30% of the time on short yardage, like in, I think it was under the 3 yard line and under, teams don't get it. So, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, but a lot of the time, you know, it's guys facing good defenses. Patriots defense, I would say, is good, but I don't think it's one of the top five.
No,
and their defensive line versus their defensive. Actually, that's another interesting topic. Not only, like we all agree, and like Mark pointed out, the one of the best running backs in the league, but also the Patriots don't really have that good of a defensive line. How much does that play into it? I mean, I'm really surprised Yeah, well, I mean, they have Will Fork, but, I mean, they really don't have, like, a unit that really scares people and is one of the best in the league. I think they were about average versus the run this year in terms of yardage. So, I don't know. I don't think that plays into Pete Carroll's mind. But I guess Pete Carroll was I don't know. I guess he was kind of going on a rush judgment and should have assessed it better. I don't want to say this, but how much blame does it go on that Pete Carroll, John?
I think a final decision that it's going to go to the big man in charge. I mean,
yeah.
That should have been, like I said, it should have been a no-brainer right there. How many seconds was it? 30 he had left, maybe?
26.
I felt like it seemed like it was that little, but I thought 20 was I thought it was 20 seconds by the time the Patriots got their ball back.
No, so
could be wrong. Could be wrong.
And actually, to answer your question, John, I looked it up in the 2013 Ravens 49ers Super Bowl. The Ravens had the ball on the 8 with 12 seconds left. So, you know, in short. And this was obviously a lot different, though, because you're at the one, arguably the best running back in the league, maybe besides DeMarco Murray, and you don't run it, also, like I mentioned, versus a decent to average running defense. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Actually, something funny actually happened. Somebody changed the Wikipedia page of Darrell Bevell after the game. Obviously, Bevell's the offensive coordinator. I'll read it word by word. Darrell Bevell is an American football coach and former player. He is currently the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks in the National Football League, a position he has held since the 2011 season. In the closing seconds of Super Bowl, I'm not sure what Super Bowl this was, but Bevell announced to the world that he was the first clinically brain-dead person to coach a professional football team. Bevell played college football at Wisconsin. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. I thought that was a kick. But I thought it was pretty interesting, too, how Brady was going to give the the MVP truck to Malcolm what was the name of the corner? Butler.
They're talking about a no-name to on everyone's newsfeed now.
Yeah, what did you guys think of Brady getting the MVP award? Do we all did anybody disagree with that? Josh, I guess I'll start with you.
It was correct. Regardless of what else happened in that game, consistently through the entire game, Brady was constantly completing passes to more than one different person and constantly taking the ball down the field and keeping pressure on. Can't make anybody else MVP that game. really.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, he had a great game, but he also had a lot of attempts. So, I mean, if you look at the yardage, you can't really say, oh, well, he had over 300 yards. I still think it was more Seattle's. I place more blame on Seattle's defense, and I give more praise for the Patriots' offense. I mean, the Patriots, I give them credit. They took advantage of the under and what Seattle was giving them, but I'm still surprised that Seattle gave them that much. Before we get any further on that, but I'll throw that question to you, John.
I think he deserved it, yeah.
You think Brady deserved it?
Oh, yeah, because at the end of the I was wondering where his stats were by the end of the half, but at the end it was over 300 yards passing and four touchdowns, no field goal attempts. This is their first Super Bowl. They haven't even tried one. And let's say connected with four different he must have completed passes to, eight guys maybe. And
yeah.
They're saying today on the NFL Network a lot of the reason why he had to pass so often was the protection was breaking down. A lot of times he was rushed.
And plus, New England's I'm thinking we're all in agreement here. It's pretty much on offense a one-dimensional team. I mean, like Garrett Blunt's not bad and Vereen's okay, but they've pretty much 99 times out of 100. If they're in third down and it's not like third and short or like maybe third and two or three, they're going to pass it. Actually, speaking of him, LeGarrette Blount only had 14 carries and 40 yards, 2.9 per carry in the game. Mark, what did you think of the MVP choice? MVP choice?
I agree with the MVP choice. Brady set the Super Bowl record for completions. And, I mean, I know he attempted a lot, but still, having over 35 completions, I think it was, is pretty good in the Super Bowl. And he had four touchdowns as well. So, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer giving it to Brady.
Yeah, he actually had 37 and 6.6 yards per carry, 328 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. Like you said, John, the pocket was breaking down a lot, but surprisingly, he only got sacked once for 8 yards. And a quarterback rating of 101.1. I'm surprised neither of you threw in, not necessarily as the MVP, but at least in the conversation for Julian Edelman. He had nine receptions, over 100 yards, 109, and a touchdown.
He accounted
really
for
good
a
game.
Third of his yards.
He accounted for what?
He accounted for one-third of Brady's yards that he threw.
Yeah, exactly. And like you mentioned, John, actually they had seven different receivers for New England caught a pass. And actually, Vereen had 11 receptions, and Gronkowski had 6 for 68 and a touchdown. And the two other touchdown passes were to Danny Amendola and Brandon LaFell. So what did we think of Seattle's defense in this game overall?
I think they got beat by this game. Just going to say it outright. You short pass games like that, you have to be prepared for in a lot of ways. I don't know what the Seattle saw when they decided to keep the corners backed off the game like that. I don't know what they were thinking exactly, but that's what really beat them is the distance, really. So they didn't play press at all, really.
Yeah, John, what were you going to say? What did you think about the defense for Seattle?
They're fighting through injuries. They still came to play. Yeah, I mean, Lane is obviously not one of their big three, but you know he came up big with that pick. And Bennett, tons of pressure right there from him. Had a big game. I don't think ignoring, their health and all, I don't think they lost a step from this past year. I think they're still going to be pretty fearsome for the next few years to come. And
yeah, I wouldn't be
right. right now, like you said recently, they're campaigning to have their secondary coach promoted to the defensive coordinator now. And so he's been the architect of that unit for so long anyway. And even I read here he was Carroll's assistant in college, too, at USC.
Yeah, I actually think Seattle will return to the Super Bowl in the next couple of years. I think they'll retain most of their starters as far as significant starters and their stars and all-pro type of guys, maybe except for Maxwell. But like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
John, they're looking for a new defensive coordinator now that Dan Quinn got hired by the Falcons. Before I get to that, Mark, what did you think of the defense for Seattle in the game?
I thought it was okay. It wasn't terrible. You get the, look into the fact that the Patriots are one of the best offenses in the league. But it wasn't great. They had a lot of injuries in their secondary. Maxwell came in with a messed up knee. Sherman came in with a torn elbow. Thomas came in with a messed up shoulder. I think he separated his shoulder. And then their other cornerback, Lean, just destroyed his arm. So the whole secondary tied her up, and I think that took a toll, even on the short routes that New England was hitting with.
Yeah, I really... I saw it early on, and obviously there wasn't a score in the game until the second quarter, actually almost 10 minutes in. I was actually really surprised by that. What's that?
And no penalties either until the second quarter.
Yeah. And that was in Seattle having to punt on their first three drives. They could have got some momentum, I would have thought, had they gotten at least some points, preferably a touchdown, just to give that defense an edge. Not that they really need one, but it would have helped in the game, and New England still being in it after the first three punts, although New England really was actually not much better. Their first drive after six plays only had 17 yards, had a punt, only took away three minutes of the drive. And then they get all the way down to the end zone. They were on the the 32-yard line, and Brady gets intercepted, and then they got a touchdown that third drive, which culminated in the 11-yard touchdown from Brady to Brandon LaFell. So getting back to what I was just talking about, how do we all think Dan Quinn's going to do now in Atlanta as the head coach there?
I think he'll be fine, actually. I hope he, wish him the best of luck, but I haven't read too much about, where he was before, back when it was Gus Bradley who had his role. But I have to say that he's going to a team that already has a good quarterback and, good offense. Decent offense overall, and he sounds like he's bringing a lot of enthusiasm. Hopefully, he doesn't get docked that first round pick for this latest with the crowd noise scandal, which had that been Belichick himself, if he would just say, "Come on, guys, really, you're gonna throw this one at us now?"
Yeah. Josh, what did you think of the move to hire Quinn as the head coach of the Falcons? They were actually 6-10 this year, third in the South. Good move?
Absolutely, and it's a good place for a coach to go if you're a defensive-minded coach. I mean, you don't have to worry about that offense. 30 established. At this point, they need help on defense, and who else to bring in but the guys running Seattle? It's a very good move. I can't wait to see what they do with that. The Falcons could be relevant next year.
Yeah, I agree. And their offense, like you said, isn't the problem. All three of their Pro Bowlers this year were on offense, and Devin Hester, Julio Jones, and Matt Ryan. It'd be interesting to see if Matt Ryan bounces back. I don't want to get off topic too much, but I was kind of interested by the move. I think it could be a move that really turns the franchise around after second straight losing seasons with Mike Smith. I think it was an appropriate firing of him. So see what happens with that. But I'm really interested that just Seattle wasn't really able to get all that much pressure. And New England was really successful on third down in the game, too, compared to Seattle. Seattle was only 3 for 10 on third down conversions, and New England was 8 for 14. Did that play a part in the game? Or, I mean, besides the final play, do you think Seattle not being able to stop New England on third down conversions, was that a big part of it? I'll start with you, John.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, going back to what you're saying with that call on the goal line, you notice that they ran a lot of Lynch on third down that he just couldn't pick up. So maybe that's another part of why they went with the pass, if they knew how they would stack up against him.
Yeah, and New England actually had 21 passing first downs. Josh, what do you think of that? I talked about, and we all talked about to an extent at one point, how they were giving them so much under on it, and I guess that led to so many first downs. Did that play a big part in the game?
Absolutely. Being able to rack up consistent drives, being able to rack up tempo is a big part of both those offenses. And, well, as you saw, it was tough for Seattle getting production, and that does reflect on what happened to that game. I think Seattle needs to take a good, hard look at Darrell Bevell and what he's done, and the what have you done to me lately. Son. Don't get me wrong, I like Russell Wilson, I like the fact how that offense works. But productivity-wise, at one point, there was somewhere like 27th in the league on offense. That's not okay.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe after next year, if the offense still slumps, do you see them replacing him, Josh?
Absolutely. And I think next year is going to be a real, real big showcase for it with Dan Quinn. It's going to be tough. It really is.
Replacing
yeah.
Who now? Wilson?
It's going to be tough because you have the defense coordinator gone. Now you have more pressure on your offense to perform because you're going to be introducing a new defensive team.
Yeah, something I had read last year, and somebody brought up something interesting. They asked, when Kaepernick got that huge extension, when they said, do you think they did that to force Seattle to fork over more money for Wilson to keep them cap-stricken? I think that's a good strategy, if that's the plan.
I don't know. What do you think, Josh?
It's the same reason that teams take players from teams within the division by subtraction. If making deals like that and putting pressure on teams to go sign their big players means that there's less activity on the free agent market. Absolutely a part of it, I would imagine. Probably one of the only really big ways the GM gets to play a role in pressure another team.
Yeah, Mark, Thursday, what did you think of the Seattle defense on third down?
I thought it was mediocre at best. I think that's half the reason why they lost the game is because of their third down defense not being able to get off the field. Like I said earlier, Brady picked them apart, and you would think on third down they would try to bring some pressure, but they just sat back and let them beat them on the slant route.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much that was the story of the game in terms of the short yardage. I mean, basically slant route every time, either that or a screen. And like you were saying, Josh, Seattle's offense, from a passing standpoint, was not very good this year. They were 27th in the pass, so I think they need to go get some more receivers, and I think they really need to expand their horizon. So, I don't know. What did you guys think of that?
Yeah, I think I don't think Wilson has a much of a go-to guy to throw to. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Who is his lead receiver? Baldwin?
Yeah, I would say Doug Baldwin. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a recent pickup, so more credit to them for that. They've been having a lot of success in the draft in recent years. I think they're going to find one in the draft this year, mark my words.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And I really think they just, you know, they need a turnaround. It'd be interesting to see what happens. We'll see what happens next year, too. What do you guys see happening down the line from this? I'll throw it to you first, John.
Well, I think there's going to be some turmoil now with Seattle, you know, since it would come down to their last offensive play, but I still think they go back to play the playoffs simply because now there's not much of a threat within the division, and which I don't think it's going to be as competitive. I don't think that NFC West will be as competitive as it was this year.
And you, John, before I throw this to and Josh and Mark, do you see them the chances of Seattle returning to the Super Bowl next year? Do you see that being a solid chance?
Not next year, but I could see them getting back a couple of years from now. I don't know if they're going to be in every year playoff team, but
yeah.
I think this goes to show that they are mortal.
Yeah, I think they. I think they just need to have more balance. Wilson, although he had the interception, only had 21 attempts. What did you think of it, Josh?
Well, tell you what. I mean, I don't think the competition in that division per se going down. Every division that team really looked ridiculous at one point or another last year. I think we're going to see a huge step up, mark my words, from St. Louis. And look for them to have a year. Because they look like, minus a quarterback, they're pretty much on the cusp. It's going to be interesting to see how without Bowles, Arizona does. So that's going to be a huge thing to watch. It's going to be just a matter of what happens. I don't know if Seattle has enough in the tank without Dan Quinn to go back to the playoffs. We're going to see. I think this could be a bigger blow than we all realize. Aside from that, though, and I definitely don't see them going back to the Super Bowl. I mean, the NFC is entirely too competitive right now for that.
But what about with San Francisco with all their turmoil?
I think they stay in the bottom, in the cellar of that division, but I fully see a jump from St. Louis in the near future. I could see Arizona bouncing back as well. It's just a matter of who hires who in terms of Seattle or Arizona. So it's going to be a lot of it.
Mark, what do you think of all this?
I think that this is just me throwing this out there. I think Seattle is going to trade up in the draft to get Amari Cooper, and he is going to be their stud number one receiver because I think that's really what they missed this year, is that number one guy to go to. I mean, Baldwin and Kirk aren't bad, but they're not number ones or twos. A surprise team, I think, for me this upcoming year is going to be the Chicago Bears. I don't think they're a bad team. I just thought they had a terrible coach. They have all the tools in the world on offense to do good. I want to see John Fox, you know, completely turn that team around with the defense. I think he can do it. He had a great defense in Carolina. He had a good defense in Denver, so we'll see what he does in Chicago.
Yeah, that's the thing. I guess I'll start with you, Mark, since we were just talking about that. What did you think of John Fox being fired? Was it an appropriate move? Was it time? Or was it a stupid move?
I think it was time, because I think they realized that Peyton might be going too. You know, so I think they're just trying to maybe just cut ties with their head coach, with their quarterback, and try to rebuild a little bit.
But the thing is, Peyton might only have a year or two left in his career. Why start with a new system? You know what I mean? So what do you guys think on that?
Dumbest move I've heard in years. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. You, with a quarterback at the twilight of his career, with all that going on, you do not change systems like that. That is not the move, especially with a first-round Hall of Famer sitting on your roster. We've already contemplated retirement. This is not the way you go. I don't blame them for the hire for Kubiak, but it's going to be tough for them next year to really, really pull Peyton into coming back. If they're making him change systems at this age, if they're making him deal with all this other stuff, with a new coach, new system, I don't think you do that. I think you leave what's in place until the man retires. I think you just let it go. Give Peyton and John Fox one more year at that point, I would say, at the very least.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't change the coach.
Peyton was hurt.
Yeah, that too. I was just going to mention that not only, you know, if you change the head coach and he's injured on top of it, there's two incentives to basically retire. You got a Super Bowl. Obviously, people want more, but that's, you know, he probably loved that. You know, you got the touchdowns record, and now you change up the coach. That might be more incentive to leave the team and retire. I like Gary Kubiak, but I just dislike more so the move itself. I think we all can agree with that. Than the hire and firing as well of Fox. Mark, what did you think of John Fox being fired and Kubiak replacing him?
Oh, I was good.
I was throwing that to Mark.
Okay.
I mean, I think it was more of the fact that LA favors Kubiak more than Fox because, I mean, they play together, they're teammates. He was LA's backup. So I just think LA did that more on a personal level, and I just didn't think he saw John Fox bringing that team to a Super Bowl win anytime soon.
Yeah.
So that's the only logic I had it.
Yeah, I think either guy's good for the job. I just think, you know, it's one thing if Peyton's 5 or 6 years younger or whatever it may be, and you change up the head coach. But, you know, as we talked about, him being so late in his career, it's really surprising. So where do we all think he's going to go next year? Stay with Denver or retire? I'll have to look up his contract, but I'm going to guess he retires. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say. Had they won the Super Bowl last year, then I could have seen Fox definitely retiring. Peyton, you would think he would go out on top too. But it looks like this year they went all out for him by revitalizing that defense. And, you know, of course, he had that quad injury. Every running back on his roster got hurt. They had to change a kicker who was very unreliable. It's still a big part of the game. And look what happened. He lost to the first team he played for. So don't you think maybe he might want to go out like that?
Yeah. Mark, what did you think of it?
I don't know. I think he's going to retire. I really do. Just the way everything's been going down and how they went down, how he lost, how he's been getting hurt. I don't see him, you know, staying another year.
And Josh, I'm assuming you're going to say, I think you hinted at this earlier, you think he's going to retire too?
I think he's done. I think he's going to hang it up at this point. I mean, the accolades for the man are incredible, but how do you come back to a team with a different coach, different system, different everything at this point in your career, and when you're getting hurt more, too? I mean, there's a lot of factors going into it, but I'm pretty sure he retires and hangs it up. It's probably time.
Yeah, he's actually on the he's actually signing through next year. He has one more year on his deal at $21 million, but I'm sure there's probably some restructuring or they can work out something there. But all signs point to him retiring. And actually, what are the thoughts on Brady not retiring after the game? He still said that he has some football left to play and something in the tank. Is he out there just for the competitiveness, to set some records, to win a Super Bowl, or all three? I'll throw this to you first, John.
Well, you heard his quote over the preseason or offseason, whatever, that when I suck, then I'll retire. And, you know, he goes out and he shows he still has plenty of gas left in the tank other than, you know, that Kansas City goal. Yeah, really the first quarter of the season, the offense stalled, but yeah, he's healthy, and his head coach is sticking around. Now that you figure, obviously, number one on that priority list was another Super Bowl, but as I got to say, there seems to be nothing holding him back right now. I don't think they're going to be there to shatter any records. I think they're just going to go out and have fun play. And let's say Belichick is now his 14 years.
It's, you know, he's been there, 2000
when he took over for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he wants to last as long as Landry did, but yeah, it's, you know, maybe they just want to. Yeah, I think they just enjoyed playing too much to leave now. He's only, they said he's only 30. He's 37 years old, so you can give him a few years before anything, any nagging injuries kick in or anything like that.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think? You think Brady's going to retire? He actually, John's right. He's 37. He's been in the league for, you know, many years now, although they're not legitimate in my eyes. They won four Super Bowls. What do you see him doing from here on, Mark?
I see him staying for maybe a couple more years to see if he can win another Super Bowl. He's really competitive, so I don't see him retiring just yet.
And, Josh, you think the same thing?
I can see him competing. However, I have an interesting question to throw out to all you guys. Do you think Manning retiring is going to affect Brady's decision?
I think it's going to play a good portion of it. I actually said this, I don't know if I said this to you guys, but I said that there's a very good chance, and I could see it, that both retire this offseason. Now, with that in mind, I didn't look at either of the two quarterbacks' contract and how many years they had left. Obviously, there always can be some restructuring and opting out and stuff like that. So it's actually a very interesting point. I don't know if they'll both be back next year. Peyton may or may not. I see Brady back a lot more than Peyton will. And speaking of Brady, where does his performance on Sunday rank among the best all time in terms of quarterbacks in the Super Bowl? Like I mentioned, we all mentioned, he had over 35 completions, 74 completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, although he did have the 2 picks, and a quarterback rating over 100. But I think most impressively for me, besides the win, obviously, was being able to crack that Seattle defense. I think a lot of it was Seattle shooting themselves in the foot and causing their own mistakes. But what do you? I think it's kind of interesting, and where he ranks. Josh, do you think he's like top 5 in terms of all time? I mean, Brady had 354 yards. I believe it was first either the Eagles or the Panthers. Phil Sims in Super Bowl 11 when he was down by one.
21.
And he led the Giants to 24 straight points. Steve Young in the 95 Super Bowl. Jake Delhomme had a good Super Bowl. Joe Montana had a couple good ones, as did Troy Aikman. And Kurt Warner, obviously, too. So you think Brady's top five, top ten all-time among Super Bowl quarterbacks, Josh?
This Super Bowl, I wouldn't say so much. The other ones, maybe. This one, I feel like the scheme was more in it than the quarterback. Not to take anything more from Brady. He had a great game, but this was a lot. This was very very thorough beating by scheme. Their foot passes were not by coincidence. It was a constant plan in order to get the ball out quick. So keep the Seattle front line really from doing anything. It forces pressure on the quarterbacks to step forward, and they didn't. It really, really keep a drive alive like that when the defense isn't playing against it, playing properly against it, and that's what I see is more happened.
Yeah. What did you think of Brady's performance all-time, Mark?
I don't think this is one of the best performances I've ever seen. In the Super Bowl, what I will say, Tom Brady is right up there for Joe Montana for the best Super Bowl quarterback ever.
Yeah, that's actually a good debate. I still think Montana's better. A lot of it's because Montana didn't cheat. I just think...
Montana never lost the Super Bowl either.
That's another great point. Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens with Brady if he ever makes it back, assuming he doesn't retire in the next couple of years. I don't know. It's another interesting thing was the fact that, like I mentioned, actually, before I get to that, a couple of news and notes. Pete Carroll, on top of placing the blame on himself, he said he's unsure now if Sherman is going to require Tommy John surgery. Carroll also said that the Seahawks have consistently been having contract talks with Marshawn Lynch for a long time now. So it'd be pretty interesting. And Carroll also on Monday strongly denied rumors that he changed out of a run to a pass. So is Marshawn Lynch and Byron Maxwell, what are their futures with the Seahawks? I'll start with you, Mark.
I think Lynch stays, but I think Maxwell goes to the Eagles.
And Josh, what are your take on that?
Could happen. I mean, it's strongly possible Maxwell goes to the Eagles. I believe I said that at your house, because they need corners like it's no one's business in Philly.
Yeah.
I could see him very well going there. It's a very competitive division. But at the same time, he would do really well there. So, I mean, it's a pretty good move.
Yeah. And Josh, I mean, John, what do you think of what do you think of that?
Between Lynch and Maxwell? Well,
yeah.
I think you worry more about Lynch's contract than Maxwell's, because like I said, when you're the top secondary, just worry about your big three all pros. Other guys will come and go. But try to re-sign Lynch. He's going to be 29, you know, just pretty old for a running back. I know you got to get your quarterback under contract too, but you know, negotiate with Lynch all you can. Cut your losses with Maxwell. I'd take him. He's better than anything the Eagles got now. And the other thing I was going to say with the Brady performance on the other day alone, what impressed me the most was the coming back from down 10.
Yeah. Josh, I want to cut you off. Yeah. No, they're really impressive. And actually, Dick LeBeau is an assistant now, defensive coordinator in Tennessee. I want to thank you guys for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.